Yes, thanks for having me, guys. This is a lot of staring at spreadsheets, so I'm glad that somebody pays attention.
So what are those spreadsheets telling you right now, Brett?
Carnage. It's not good. I had a quote in this story that from a college athletics consultant that basically every school in FBS was going to take a loss. And really, the results is just how bad of a loss and how much of it could be mitigated. You know, some schools had savings, but I mean, it's not good. It's not pretty reading.
All right. Now, certain places have decided to take interesting routes along the way. For example, Stanford is going to drop, I believe, 11 sports along the way. They aren't the first ones to say that. Oh, have you been able to get a read as to how some people are reacting to this?
To dropping sports?
Yeah.
One source I talked to for this story that I didn't end up using in the story because they were off the record or, you know, on background, but was a former athletic director, and she had some interesting thoughts on that didn't actually even make a story. But one of them was that, you know, probably athletic departments are trying to do too much in some cases, and Stanford might be an example of that. With, you know, 40-something sports, I mean, that's undertaking a lot. And then on the other end of that, you know, like I mentioned in the story, that East Carolina cut some sports, Clemson cut some sports, Iowa cut some sports, and two of those three have already been met with Title IX lawsuits. So
yes,
you know, there's kind of like two schools of thought on this. You know, in some cases it makes sense because the schools are maybe, you know, really overly ambitious on what they're trying to accomplish. And then in other cases, it really does very little to solve the financial issues that these schools are facing right now. And if anything, it only really gets them into further trouble. Of those two schools that are facing lawsuits, ECU and Iowa have reinstated teams because, you know, the judges indicated basically that they would lose the cases. So they just brought the teams back.
Yeah, and I know at Iowa it was done in such a way where the athletic director walked in, said, "I'm sorry," and then left. And now it turns out that they're back, which is interesting. Ohio State has put out a new ticketing policy for football. And it's similar to what other people have done, but the more money you donate, the better seats that you're going to get. But they've also increased the prices of tickets. Now, student tickets are going to stay the same at $34 per game. Can you see this happening across the board where people are pricing, you know, increasing prices? But how delicate a balance is it between doing that but pricing yourself out?
Yeah, that's a good question because, you know, one thing that's going to be critical this year especially, but I would say moving forward in the coming years, is revenue generation. You're going to see a lot of athletic directors hired that's like really a specialty of theirs, particularly like fundraising. But there's other ways to raise money, and some of it is, you know, incremental ticket increases. You know, because the college sports fan is, I would venture to say more willing to take it on the chin than most sports fans. You know, especially like pro sports, they generally have a stronger commitment and connection to their school. And so, you know, incremental increases, I think, are definitely going to be there. Also, you know, for the schools in the group of five, not the non-Power Five schools,
right?
I think you'll see other kinds of increases like student fee maybe going up. You know, there's a lot of these athletic programs in like the Sun Belt Conference, the Mid-American, Conference USA, you know, that a lot of their program is subsidized by student fees and money from the school. So I think you'll see increases in those. Because, I mean, you know, if you have a school of like 30,000 students, I mean, you know, you can make a lot of money for an athletic program off of student fees, whether the students really notice it or not.
Last year, with the insurance policy, the NCAA ended up paying out about in the neighborhood of $225 million to their partner schools along the way. This year, they expect that to pay out the full $613 million if they play the tournament all the way through, which, Brett, you and I both know is a distinct possibility that they will. What does that mean on the road to health for many of these schools to get at least a full cut of the NCAA men's basketball tournament?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. It's especially huge for, you know, smaller conferences that, you know, the million or so bucks that you get from the NCAA is, you know, can be like 10% or less of your budget. You know, I mean, for an Ohio State or Penn State, it's not going to be quite as critical, but, you know, as the University of Texas San Antonio AD, Lisa Campos told me, she's like, everybody has budgeted for the NCAA tournament to happen. So, you know, they really, I don't think, want that last hiccup in this financial, you know, in this fiscal year, which runs from usually from July 1st to June 30th. I think that would be a really crucial blow, like at the end of the year, because after the NCAA tournament, that's when the TV payouts are pretty much sorted out for conferences. So that would be, you know, a last gut punch of the year if the something didn't happen with the full,
right.
What, 67 games, I think?
Yeah, 67 games. All right, so now let's go to the next part. We've, you know, obviously we've found out in professional sports what the percentage of what a crowd means. For example, we know the NHL is much greater than anybody else. Baseball's about 40%. The NBA is about, believe it or not, 40%. In college sports, for Power Five schools versus Group of Five schools, what does that attendance number mean to the health of the athletic department at a Power Five school percentage-wise? What does that mean percentage-wise to a Power Five school?
It's hard to say percentage-wise, because what is easier about pro sports is the comparisons are much more apple-to-apple.
Yeah.
College, what's interesting about it is how different everything is. So I would say, for like a good example, is Michigan. You know, a school that I think, let's see, in 2020 budgeted something like, you know, $57 million from ticket sales.
Right.
You think about 111,000 fans for seven home football games, and then, you know, probably very good basketball attendance. You know, there, that's $57 million of like 160, 190, somewhere in there, million revenue.
Right.
So, I mean, that's, you know, that's a pretty huge percentage. And then about $50 million in TV money, that's a big chunk of their revenue. Another school I wrote about in this story, you look at like Georgia State, TV and attendance are not going to be nearly as big percentages, like either of them.
Right.
I think their TV money was around like something like $2.5 million or something like that, mm-hmm. out of about $25 million budget. For them, I mean, school support and the student fees is the biggest thing. So as long as enrollment is not majorly impacted, you know, schools like that are going to be okay. I mean, it's not easy for them to just lop $2 million off the budget, but, you know, it doesn't quite have the same effect as when you take a third of your budget. Because think about the fact that Michigan in 2019 had those seven home games with, you know, 111,000 something mm-hmm. fans. So about 800,000 tickets that they sold for football. And in 2020, they had three home games, which saw a total of 1,200 people attend, all of who were friends and family of players and didn't pay for tickets.
Right.
So pretty significant drop in ticket revenue for the Wolverines.
Believe me,
as well, I'm sure.
Believe me, Brett, I broadcast the Penn State-Michigan game in that stadium that day. I looked around and saw 111,000 empty seats.
Yeah.
Although Michigan didn't play well that day, so some of the cardboard cutouts actually got up and left. I mean, I thought that was kind of odd. All right, so moving forward, how critical is fiscal year 21-22, and what does it then, how critical will be 22-23 to see if they can get everything back on a positive path?
Yeah, this fall will be really interesting, because I'm seeing already, like, I know Wisconsin has mentioned that they are expecting full stadiums. I would be really surprised
and that's
if they
were
full stadiums.
And that's where Penn State opens. Penn State opens at Wisconsin.
Right. I just would be surprised by that. I mean, I could, you know, I've been surprised a lot in the last year, but I really think 22 is when you're going to see a lot more normalcy. I mean, I just think there's still going to be some psychological reticence from people to be in a group of, you know, 80 to 100,000 people. And, you know, also there were people that have probably attended games their whole lives that watched last year from their couch and were like, I mean, this isn't bad, you know? And so really that's going to be critical for colleges. They're doing this right now. It's kind of this outreach to season ticket holders,
yes,
to make sure that they remember how cool the live experience is, because everybody knows that when you could do a lot more watching from your house, watch it from your couch. I mean, it's cheaper and it doesn't duplicate the live experience, but for some, it's a more desirable thing. And there's people that probably never even considered not going to games, lifelong season ticket holders of their college they graduated from, that last year were forced not to go. And so getting those people back is going to be really critical, especially as there already was kind of a bit of a declining trend in attendance in college football. So I think this fall is going to be really critical for college athletics. But I mean, this is a 2-3-4 year thing, though. I mean, especially right. Given the way that a lot of schools have borrowed money and are kind of trying to spread out the impacts of this.
So yes, that's right.
I don't think, like Clemson cutting track and field was an interesting thing because it really did nothing for them this year financially. They don't even see the benefits of that,
right,
such as they are, until 22. So, it's kind of a 2-3-4 year thing. And this fall is really going to be very interesting to see how much they can recover, like how quickly.
In doing this story, was there something that, quote, pleasantly surprised you? And was there something in there that was worse than you thought going in?
Something that pleasantly surprised me. I think I'm kind of pleasantly surprised by some of the creativity that athletic directors are showing to try to generate revenue. College sports is so tradition laden that there's been a lot of things that have been, off limits. And, mm-hmm. I think of the Colorado deal with PointsBet is something that's really interesting. I think it's also like really fraught with, I don't know what the word is, like danger, maybe,
yeah.
I guess is a word. Mm-hmm. It's got some risk, because college sports and gambling has got a interesting path.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the deal is a great business deal and for Colorado and an interesting one, but like things like New Mexico State, which is, licensed its brand for official New Mexico State coffee, whiskey, wine, things like that that's really smart. And, if I'm an alum of that school, I mean, those are three things that I drink a lot of actually in my own personal life. So, I would take advantage of that. That's really clever. And so it'll be cool to see the things that schools come up with to try to eat away at these deficits. I just don't think, average college sports fans really understand how much money is involved in this enterprise. And when you look at these budgets, it just really underlines the whole amateurism thing as kind of a farce, honestly. I mean, there's so much money involved that it's amazing to think that they can't carve out a chunk for the athletes. I mean, when you're talking about, in a normal year, a budget of $190 million of revenue, I mean, mm-hmm. that's like, come on, you can't break off a tiny piece of that. I mean, so I think that's something too that most people just don't really understand the money that some of these big schools are just rolling in.
All right, finally, the first TV contract up to be negotiated on the college side for Power Five will be the Big Ten, because their deal, that the last deal they put together was a 6-year deal. What's the pressure on Kevin Warren as the conference commissioner to put together a contract that knocks it out of the park to help get everybody back on track?
Yeah, I think that's a good question, because this is a big topic for him. He got his reputation rattled a little bit last fall, and deservedly so. They kind of, I thought it was weird that they sort of waffled, but also I'm going to cut him some slack. I mean, this is a really difficult, unprecedented situation. You also saw like parents and athletes kind of flex their muscles last year in ways that we've not seen before, and so I think a lot of ADs and conference commissioners were not quite prepared with how to deal with that. Probably coaches of teams too. So I'm going to cut them a little bit of a break there. But I think this TV negotiation is going to be huge, because as you guys know, the Big Ten have been really setting the pace in this. And you know, they want to stay that way. And it's a really, really interesting and, difficult and odd and awkward and fractured moment for broadcasting right now. You know, I don't think the streaming thing has taken off quite like people expected. Regional sports networks are, you know, kind of slipping through the cracks. And so there's just a lot of tension and change that's going on right now. So it'll be really interesting to see what they're able to pull off with that. And I think if he does well there, I think he can kind of erase what happened last fall, because, you know, when your TV contracts are long and they just kind of loom over you, as, you know, a recent former commissioner in the Pac-12 would tell you.
Yes.
So it's something that can win you a lot of goodwill for a pretty decent stretch of time. And so I think they're going to, like you said, I think they want to nail that.
Thank you so much, Brett. I really appreciate it. Great information.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks for having me.